Our second scripture lesson this morning is the traditional one for the Sunday after Easter. You will recognize it, I think. It is John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. Let us hear and attend God's word. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Those of you who are parents know what it's like to watch your children grow and develop. And we don't always agree with how our children decide to live their lives. But we reach that point when they leave the nest where we have to say, "Well, okay, they'll learn." That's one of my favorite things. When the issue comes up. But this past Easter, I saw an evidence of my daughter having changed the way she reacts to Easter. Now, this is a woman who loves every holiday. Right at Thanksgiving, to give you an example, on Thanksgiving Day, she usually puts up her first Christmas tree. That's her pattern, the first Christmas tree. And her husband says, "Oh no, it's nearly Christmas. I got to do this all over again." And there are trees literally all over her house, and she has an 18th century house that's big. So there's lots of them. But in every year for Easter, she usually goes all out, and they have three children, and she makes Easter just a special, special time for them, and there are Easter baskets with gifts and candy and all of that, usually. But this year was something different, and I saw a different side of my daughter, which I chuckled, and I said, "Oh, yeah, she's beginning to see." This year, instead of pretty Easter baskets with all of the fancy stuff that you can buy in the grocery store, she gave them laundry bags with, you know, treats and candies and stuff in them, but it was laundry bags. And I thought, wow, that to me is a sign of maturity. off with the frou-frou in the baskets, here, the laundry bag, that when the candy's gone, this is a very utilitarian thing. She's a child after my own heart, is actually what I'm saying. But Easter is a time, one of the things my daughter has right is that Easter is a time when we receive gifts. Now, we celebrate that at Christmas, yes, the gift of the Son of God. But we forget sometimes that Easter is a time when we receive some really significant gifts from the Lord Jesus Christ. I chose 1 Corinthians 13 this morning to highlight some of the most beautiful gifts that we do receive from Christ. Faith, hope, and love. They are gifts, yes, through the Holy Spirit, but they are gifts from Jesus nonetheless. Faith, hope, and love, Paul says, these are things that abide or remain. The newer translations use remain. The old King James says they abide. I like abide because abide means in the ancient Greek, abide means that it is something that makes its home with you. For something to abide is you share your home, you share your life with these things. So Christ gives us these gifts, faith, hope, and love, and they become part of our home life. They remain, this is the important thing, however, they remain after everything else is gone. Paul says, you know, speaking in tongues comes and goes, prophecies come and go. A lot of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are just for a moment in time. A lot of the gifts of our lifetime, when you think about it, are just transient. They come and they go. But these three abide. These three make their home with us. Now, in today's gospel lesson, John gives us an example of just how that faith, hope, and love transcend death in Jesus Christ. Of course, today's lesson is a traditional one following the Sunday following Easter. It's commonly known as the scripture of the doubting Thomas. Thomas has been stuck with that name ever since the Gospels were written and distributed. But a true Bible scholar will tell you that if you really look up all the other mentions of Thomas in the Gospels, you'll see that there was a lot more to Thomas than just this one incident of doubt. He was the heart of the disciples that was courageous. He rallied them with courage in the face of opposition that faced Jesus. He was a man full of faith who just happened to question the appearance of Jesus on the day after Easter. Now, as we read John's description of Jesus' appearance today, we can't help but notice that there was not only doubt in that room. Remember, the women had come from the tomb, and they told them all that they had experienced, and the disciples weren't sure. There was a lot of doubt. And of course, that doubt was on top of the fear that they already had because their leader had been arrested and crucified. Would the soldiers be coming for them next? The scene that we are given in John's gospel is disciples sitting behind locked doors, worried to death that they might be next. I once heard a preacher refer to this as the first meeting of the church. He said, this is a picture of the church and its very beginning. Crouching behind closed doors, scared to death. But with Jesus coming to them. Now, if we're honest, on any given Sunday, this room could have the same set of complex emotions. I think back of when I first came here, the pandemic was well underway. I came in July. The pandemic, I guess, started, in March, or February or March. The church had not been meeting. I think I came here on the third Sunday after you began to meet together again. There was a lot of fear, people coming or not coming because, you know, they were afraid of this COVID-19 virus. And yet there were others who said, God will be with us. There was faith, there was fear, there was some confusion, right? So when we sit in this room, we're not that different than the original disciples. They wondered, was Mary right? Or was this just some imagination that she had? There was fear, but there was also, I want to point out, there was faith, hope, and love in that room. And there's been faith, hope, and love in this room. If you think about it, since the inception of this church, there's been faith, hope, and love in this room. Now, Jesus appeared to the disciples through locked doors. He wished them peace, and he brought them peace by confirming their fondest hopes that he was truly resurrected. He breathed on them the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave them the authority to forgive sins in his name. What is Jesus doing there? What place has this in a resurrection narrative? But here, Jesus was giving them the charter on which to start building churches. He dispelled any rumors that he might be a ghost. He invited them. Thomas first, remember? Come, put your finger in where the nail holes were. Put your hand in my side. The scar's there. And finally, he blessed us. Yes, us, each and every one of us. He said, "Though blessed are those who believe and have seen, but more blessed are those who believe and have never seen the risen Lord." Now take notes that the gifts that Jesus gave here, as he proceeded to confirm the fact of his bodily resurrection from the dead. His appearance then and 8 days later expressed love. He did not write the disciples off, even though mysteriously they disappeared when he was arrested. Jesus is showing them once again that agape love, even for people who had abandoned him. Then let's talk about peace. He brought them peace. The peace that Jesus wished to his disciples more than once in this scripture is shalom, the Hebrew word. It means more than just an absence of warfare. It means an inner stillness, a completeness, a welfare. As I contemplate Jesus' words, I began to think about how peace so rare in our modern life. I mean, the kind of peace that I'm talking about, that inner kind of stillness. I thought of the many small crises that are part of our lives, and they disturb our inner peace. Sometimes we'll come under criticism. Sometimes there'll be an issue that we are passionate about and someone decides that to challenge us on it. Disturbs our inner peace. So what does it mean when Jesus gives you peace? It means that you are centered on him. That these earthly things, they will come and go. People would disagree with you. People might oppose you. People might not even like you and express that in some way. But if you're centered on Jesus Christ, will it take him away from you? Will it take that inner peace away? That's where our discipline as disciples comes in, to keep ourselves centered. And if you're centered, truly centered on Christ, nothing can knock you away. What does Paul say? Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor anything can keep us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing can take away, because when you have Jesus Christ, you have that peace as well. That inner stillness, that contentment, that happiness. And you know something? People with that kind of peace are far happier and healthier. I invite you to open yourself to the peace of God in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus also brought faith. He brought faith in their confirmation that he is all that he has promised to be. The disciples sat with him for years, hearing his teaching and defining who he was to the communities. Here, he says, I am all of those things and even more. He is now Lord over heaven and earth. He's defeated sin. He'd made possible forgiveness for every wrong that we can imagine. And he's been raised from the grave to assure that each and every one of us will enjoy eternal life. Faith. Our faith is rewarded by confirmation. He has confirmed to us that each and every one of us is valued highly. And how do we know that? Because he returned for Thomas. He will return for each and every one of us. Here is the Savior who talked about leaving the 99 sheep to go get the one that's lost. You think that he won't come back for you? Faith, hope, and love are gifts of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are reserved for those who have an abiding relationship with him. We have to remember that word abide or remain. We have to make that commitment. Now, having said that, faith, hope, and love are gifts that are not just reserved for perfect Christians. In fact, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? There is no perfect Christian. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we still live in a sinful world. And we sometimes can get off base, can't we? But still, God and Christ will not take away faith, hope, and love. These remain. These abide. The only requirement there is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about relationship. Basically, all of our relationships with other people change over time. Some relationships end, some continue to evolve and change as the years go by. I just talked about my relationship with my children and how they have evolved and how our relationship evolves as they are adults. Now, around us, we see a lot of turmoil in families, divorces, remarriages, widows and widowers mourning the end of long relationships. The real truth is that every relationship we have is temporary. It may last 8 minutes, 8 days, or 80 years. But inevitably, our human relationships come to an end. But this is not so with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Faith, hope, and love abide. We who live in Christ will die in Christ, be raised from death by Christ, and abide with Christ throughout eternity. Jesus appeared through locked doors. You think he can't get to you wherever you are? He affirmed the disciples, even though they had turned their back on him. Has there ever been a time in your life when you turned your back on Jesus Christ? There has been in mine. Yet he forgave. He affirmed his love for me. He built my faith. He confirmed my hope. And he expressed his undying love, just as he did to Thomas. And so he will do for you. So I hope that you will receive and appreciate and build upon those gifts. Faith, hope, and love abide. They make their home in us in the power of Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a moment of prayer. Great God, thank you. Thank you for these precious Easter gifts of faith, hope, and love. May we indeed build upon them. May we grow in Christ, grow closer into his image, become more like him, so indeed that others might see that faith, hope, and love, and that hunger might grow inside of them as it has grown inside of us, to drink more deeply, to be filled more completely with your love, that we might be love to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.